What's up, After Buzzers? We're here for Barry, Season 2, Episode 1. The show must go on, probably. We're talking Burmese. We're talking bullets. We're talking NoHo Hank in a wig. All that and more coming up next, folks.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, party people? We are back again with the beloved Emmy-winning Barry. I'm your host, Erica Edwards, and I'm joined today by...
Hey, guys, I'm Stephen Lemieux. Sorry I cut you off.
Oh, no. Thank you, Stephen. All right, so this episode starts off with a bang. We're talking NoHo Hank. Everybody's back except for, you know, the person that we miss. But it's a hot episode, you guys. So we start off. Okay, first let's start off with overall thoughts. I really enjoyed this episode. I feel like they came in kind of hard and off the top. Barry's worlds are already colliding in the first episode.
Well, I mean, we left off season one with Barry shooting Detective May and us not knowing what's going on, right? So we see him walking towards the tree with the gun on the back of it.
Right.
And then we just hear gunshots. So we don't really know what transpired, whether he had to, like, fist fight her and choke her to death or whatever the hell happened.
Right. We don't know what goes on. We just see him coming back and, like, getting into bed with Sally. And the whole time, like, we had her in the studio. I follow her on Instagram. And I'm like, girl, you're not really dead. You're not really dead, are you? Like, it's a tough one.
Oh, you don't think she's dead?
No, I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying I hope she's... I love her. She's from Chicago. I love her. Well, I wanted to come back.
It's the AfterBuzz TV curse that started on The Walking Dead. Is every time we have an actress or actor in studio, they die within two episodes. But right. No, I love this show.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was back until I got home last night and my roommate was like, hey, do you want to watch Barry? I'm like, what? So yeah, watch season 2, episode 1. Love the episode. NoHo Hank's one of my favorite characters on TV right now.
Yes, I enjoy him a lot.
Barry, such a good character and so well played.
Yes.
And the show is just so phenomenal. I thought in this episode it was interesting to see where Fuchs is doing now that he's back home. He's not around Los Angeles anymore.
Exactly. So we see Fuchs and he opens... Well, okay, it's not Fuchs. So at first you're like, oh my gosh, is Barry
back
in the game? And it's this utterly, like, bumbling idiot that Fuchs is hired, because we all know that Barry is the best. So that whole, like, scene in transition was, like, crazy but hilarious.
It's also just a lesson on comedy writing, watching this show. Because a lot of people just like to get to the point and just have things happen, but they're so good at getting that moment there where, like, the dude's at the door with a shotgun pointed at the guy, and the guy has the door open, and he's just like, yo, man, all right, you're just being a little bit passive-aggressive, and you gotta cut... Like, they're having their whole, like, moment before conversation on camera, and then he opens the door and gets his ass shot. I didn't think it was Barry, but I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Right.
But then when he pointed the gun at the safe, I was like, oh, this is gonna ricochet bad.
Exactly! Like, guns aren't my thing, but that seems crazy.
So I'm curious if this storyline will make a reappearance, though, if that safe even matters, or if Fuchs is going to be in hot water by sending this guy to kill those random people. But the guy who hired Fuchs to do it jumped out of a window onto a police car, so I don't know.
Exactly. I'm not sure if it was just the transition to kind of put Fuchs in police custody so that he'll already be there later. But it was an interesting transition, and I think it was a great way to open and see he's still trying to get his murdering hustle on, but he's still horrible.
Well, it's all about picking up those loose ends and those breadcrumbs they left at season two, because they did such a great job of tying up the loose end with his friend from high school.
Right.
And then obviously they took out, why can't I remember his name? The head guy with NoHo Hank's old boss.
Gorin.
Yeah. So they took out Gorin. So those are all kind of tied up, but then we had the tooth that was left on the scene. So we had to play with something with that. And then obviously Fuchs and Barry split up and Barry covered up his ass by taking out Detective May. So as far as season two was, without somebody on the outside doing something to screw everything up, Barry was pretty set.
Right.
So you needed Fuchs somewhere to do something stupid.
Exactly, exactly. And then what's interesting is when we first see NoHo Hank, it's almost like summer in the sun or whatever. He has gotten happy with the Bolivians. And instead of, because originally he had given them credit for Goren's murder. So that was kind of like his way of hooking up. Because I really feel like NoHo Hank, like, loves Barry. Like, that's like his only real friend. And even though I don't think Barry is somewhat of a sociopath, but one that we love. So I don't really know if Barry, like, returned the feelings. But NoHo Hank really loves him. So they made it, he made it seem like the Bolivians had murdered Goren. And but now he's in business with them, doing the most and loving it and listening to music. And, like, it was a really cute, kind of a cutesy scene to consider.
Yeah, so he seems like the guy who just loves his work and just loves his job, but doesn't view it as like an evil thing at all. It's exactly. Just like, it's like a waiter who serves cannibals.
Right.
Where he just has nothing wrong with it. He's just like, I love my job. I'm NoHo Hank. You know, I just do what I want to do. And it's amazing how they're playing it off, though, because he does have this weird bromance with Barry.
Yeah.
That Barry wants no part of.
Exactly.
Absolutely no part of it, but NoHo Hank, she's coming back and has that leverage on him because he did save Barry's life at the end of last season.
Absolutely.
And it only helped him to save Barry's life because they got rid of Goren and he got to partner up with the Bolivians, who I guess on the outside, like we found out, they're super chill guys. It's like, I love that he considered the main Bolivian dude a modern-day Tony Robbins, a drug-dealing Tony Robbins.
I loved it. I was like, oh, they have motivational, like, speaks and meditations, and they also sell drugs. Like, that's doing the most in a good way. Now, what's interesting is also NoHo Hank now is head of the Chechens. So, obviously, everybody was winning at the end of the season, except for, obviously, our girl, Detective Masa. But everybody else is doing great.
Goren's not doing too good.
Either. Well, you know, we weren't a fan of his.
Nope.
NoHo Hank was always cool, but Goren was the worst. And so then NoHo Hank gets this bullet in the mail.
Was it a scorpion or something on the bullet?
Yeah. And, you know, so he calls, he's like, oh, I love it. I love how they interact.
Hey, just wanted to call you and tell you I got your message. Is this some kind of April Fool's joke? Because I'm just like not in the know here. No, we're going to kill you.
Wait, we went to school together. Like, we were in grade school together.
Is business.
Yes, there's nothing I can do. It was fun.
But yeah. The Bolivians didn't even kill Goren. Well, who did? Sets up the Burmese.
Yes. Oh, God. Now, I will say this, even though NoHo Hank has, like, he can't stand Esther, head of the Burmese crime family. But she got me when she stabbed herself in the hand. I was like, and turned the knife. I was like, all right, Esther, you head of my family, girl. You can get it. I loved that whole scene. That
it's
was
like,
hilarious.
Oh, no, I've seen it when you do that, and just.
I know. And then she's like, oh, but wait, let me turn this, because I can tell you I can take the pain. And she did not flinch. She did not.
But
I was like, wow.
This just goes so well with the rest of season one, with the Chechens just being completely incompetent. Like, Goren has, like, the one guy who is, oh, we bring in the big assassin, he is the greatest assassin, he comes and he's like, I would like to die.
I know, he's 85 years old.
I just want to stop. He's like this old, everyone's like, oh my God, you're the legend.
Yes, you're the legend.
And he's just a nobody. But now you have the muscle, and Bolivians are right, like, we have people with muscle. And he's not even saying, NoHo Hank, like, let's stop working together or anything. It's just this, like, jealous bromancy thing that isn't even business related. It's like he wanted to be besties with the Bolivian guy.
I think that's what you kind of love about NoHo Hank, is his thirstiness. Because really, he is jealous that Esther, he's like, oh, don't butt in our conversation. He's like actually jealous
he's
of
a
Esther
jilted lover.
Building this relationship with the Bolivians. So he is upset, almost like a child, and wants to get rid of her. So he tells the Chechens that she is the one that killed Goren. So that kind of
is going to set some stuff up for sure. I'm trying to think of what the reference is, but there's one show that has, like, it's like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I do not.
So Brooklyn Nine-Nine has Boyle and Andy Samberg's character Peralta, and they have this, like, intense bromance, and anytime somebody enters the fray with Andy, Boyle's in the background, like, staring them down, like, well, I'm your best friend. And this is the kind of thing we get with Hank and the Bolivians right now, where it's like he's just supremely focused on making sure he's the only best friend there is.
Yeah, and, I mean, you just feel for NoHo Hank because you get the feeling that he was never really ever, until now at least, ever really respected, never really had any friends.
He failed up.
And it's like, you know, Barry was the only one that gave him the time of day, whether he wanted to or not.
But he has the best disposition.
Yes.
He's so excited about what he does. Everything's chill.
Yes, everything's lovely.
I would love to hire a producer like NoHo Hank. They're just like, oh, the building's on fire. Yeah, it's cool. We got it under control. We'll get a handle.
It will be fine. We will do a crisscross, and it'll be fine.
You couldn't fire him, though, because this is some kind of joke, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, my God.
So I'm like, I love NoHo Hank, because I think he's the perfect, just outrageous character to Barry's straight man. Like, Barry is always so straight, always so, like, just straight and narrow, and I think that's what makes it such a good comedy play.
And they're both...
he's so straight. And then the other one, and NoHo Hank is so crazy, but he's so believable in his craziness that makes it kind of like...
He's like the most normal crazy guy ever. Yeah. It's like he has zero empathy, but he still like cares in some weird way. I don't know how to explain it. It's such a well-done character. I love it.
Yes, I'm totally a fan of him. So when we first see Barry, it's so interesting. Barry is now trying to motivate his classmates. Everybody has been impacted by Detective Moss's death. And specifically, Gene had a nervous breakdown and kind of left his acting class just hanging.
Stranded,
hanging in the dust. The show, but Barry says the show must go on. And he's the only one who dresses up for dress rehearsal. Nobody wants to perform. Everybody is just kind of devastated and lost.
Well, you know, Cousineau is their North Star. And as soon as Cousineau is off kilt, they're like, well, we have to be off kilt, too. It's like, it's funny because it's playing with the idea that just actors don't know what the hell to feel themselves. They just have to take direction from somebody to feel something.
Although I will say this, as a person who does go to an acting workshop every week, when your teacher falls off, like the whole class, it's hard to kind of stay motivated in the moment and together as a group when the teacher's like off kilter. So like, I know our teacher, she had to move and stuff. And so now it's like, well, we're not going to class. We're not getting there on time. We're kind of like just falling off. And so I certainly feel for them. Not that they are totally, you know, they're kooky in their own way, but he is their leader. And when your leader falls aside, then, you know, everybody crumbles.
Yeah. And this show has been very true to form with how these acting classes are.
Oh my gosh, that's why I love it.
It's so good.
Because I audited the class where the author of the book handed out her book to us. So I absolutely know, like, every character in there. I actually know someone like that, which is so frightening.
Well, even my favorite scene of Barry ever is when Henry Winkler's going out for the audition and there's 70 other people that look just like him.
Yes.
It's like the acting teachers are still going out for, like, the guest star bitch work roles. And you're just, like, so spot on.
Exactly.
So they're putting on, what was the play that they're putting on?
It's called Frontal Page or Front News.
Front Page News.
Yeah.
And everybody's out of it, right? So we were talking about that. And for some reason, the line that he says?
He says, if the show doesn't go on, then was it worth it or something?
Then it wasn't worth it.
And Sally takes that, of course, because we all know how Sally gets down. It's all about her. So she's like, do you mean our relationship? And it's like, really, Sally? Yes. This is why we love and hate you, because he definitely loves you, although, you know, you're as shallow as a teaspoon. But we love you, girl. And so that's so interesting, because then that's one of the times when you really see how committing that particular murder has weighed on him.
Yeah, I mean, he notices what's going on. I mean, he's obviously, like, intelligent enough to observe, but at the same time has to deal with his actions. But I thought it's also kind of funny. And they did you watch the little featurette they do after every episode?
I watched a little bit of the one where Bill Hader and the producer were talking about how they decided to kind of start it with trying to figure out what happened to Detective Moss. I did see some of it.
Well, one of the really interesting things they said, and if you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. It's after the episode. They do all these cool little featurettes after every episode. It was their decision to make everyone in the class act like Barry has no idea what happened to Moss, and they all do. It's like, Barry's like, we don't know what happened to her. And they're like, we know exactly what happened to her. You're the only one who seems to not.
Yes. That was so well done and so an interesting perspective and definitely a cool way to sort of flip it, because they're all like, we know she was murdered. And he's like, I don't know. What's going on?
Everyone gets their opinions in their mind and then considers them fact immediately, which I feel helps Barry in this case because nobody's even suspecting him. We go to Cousineau's apartment when Barry's there, and the cops are there, and he thinks it's an ambush. They tee it up like an ambush, and then they're like, nah, we're giving up. Cousineau's like, well, did you search the woods? Nah, we don't feel like there's evidence enough to search the woods.
And what I love about the way this show is so well written is how they write the comedy. And he's like, oh, I have this 38. Do you know how many times today I thought of kissing it? And Barry was like, you want to kiss a gun? And
suicide, Barry.
It was like so well done. Barry's hilarious.
Like, it's like he's so intelligent, funny. But he's an idiot.
Yeah, or he's just so literal. And I think what we kind of saw at the end of season one and we're seeing now is that Barry, for a long time, was sort of like a sociopath. Like, you didn't really feel like he had feelings for what he was doing. And it wasn't until, like, really with Detective Moss, and now that he finally has a community, that he's starting to have empathy, I think, for his victims. And he's not just this killing machine.
But I'm wondering, though, does he, and this is a question I'm curious your opinion on, does he have empathy for the victims, or is he just upset with what he has to do to protect himself? Because I don't necessarily think that he has empathy for Moss. I think he's upset that he had to kill her because it's going to screw up his situation.
See, I don't know. I think with Moss, he felt different. I think even at that scene where he was like, don't make me do this, I feel like Moss, and I believe there was one other hit in season one that he just really did not want to do.
I mean, he didn't want to kill his friend.
Right.
But like at the same time, he didn't want to kill him because he was going to turn him in, but he had to kill him. It's like, at what point in this show will he make the decision to not kill somebody, even at risk to himself? And that was always the question for Dexter as well.
Exactly. I was a fan of Dexter, and I love Dexter. And I think part of it is when you have that character that has come to this mindset that I'm killing mean or evil people, so it's okay. And so that's kind of how both of them approached it or found a way to rationalize it sort of to themselves. But there's always a point where you have to kill someone who's not, you know, maybe not innocent, but certainly not the guilty, evil person that you've, you know, kind of crusader type person. And I think with Barry, that was exactly the situation. Now I'm killing my friends to save myself. I'm not killing these, you know, I'm not the hired hitman for these evil drug dealers.
Yeah, he's just killing because he has to. And we learned some really cool information about Barry this episode, too. And that is his first kill.
Yes.
We witness his first kill and how he reacts. They do this hilarious class exercise where the other people act out what he's saying.
Okay, so yeah. So the part, I mean, there were so many. I love the acting class. Like, I just love it. It's corny and they're goofy, but I love them to death. So when they're putting on the play, Gene comes and he cancels the show and he's going to, you know, get rid of the whole class. And there's always these moments where Gene is just like, forget it, I'm done. And then Barry finally steps up. Because, you know, what's kind of funny about the show is all along, Barry's like a horrific actor. And then when he finally is like, okay, well, I'm just going to be my killer self, that's when he always kills it.
But is he a bad actor, though?
Well, so far I ain't seen nothing that looked that great. But anytime he's pretending, anytime he's in the, you know, kind of trying to do it, because I know, like, I'm not the greatest actress either, so I know when you try too hard. But anytime he reveals, like, his true self, which they all think is an act, that's when it's so touching, so gripping. And so, you know, Gene says to him, what was your first kill like? That's like me talking about Janice. And Barry's like, okay. And as you know, that's the moment where he's like, okay, I'll reveal it. And that's when we hear it.
I think it's a really poignant discussion on acting itself as well, though, because a lot of people will tell you that the best actors aren't acting as somebody else. They're just putting a new name to the people they are.
Exactly.
So as soon as you're trying to be somebody else, it's you're trying. But as soon as you're just, you are this person with the history of whoever yourself is, and you use those previous histories and like those, because that's what Barry does basically in those scenes, is he's pulling from his life – exactly. to portray those characters. So,
exactly, because I think the key to really good acting really is to think and act as real people, and that's what touches people, because that's how we relate to you when we see it on the screen or on TV. And but when you think as an actor, or how would this person do in this scene,
that's just out of it.
It's just crazy and flaky and it's horrible.
So yeah, Barry's taught us the key to acting: killing your acting teacher's wife.
Yes, and be yourself. Be yourself.
be yourself.
Even,
and kill
her. Even if that makes you a serial killer, just do you. So
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not serious last views after the TV's owner's principles.
Exactly. I would never recommend you kill anybody per se. All right. So initially, when he's going through his first kill, they show his little classmates are like reenacting it as he's speaking it, and then he's having sort of. And then they also cut to, which I love the way they filmed it, they cut to flashes of what actually happened when he's a soldier. And it was just so interesting to see Barry back at a time when he appeared to be more innocent.
Well, I think it's also, no, you're absolutely right. And it's also just interesting to see how a fellow's reaction to your murder or your kill can influence how you react to it. Because you could tell that when he first shot the person, he didn't know what to think. He didn't know if, was this good? Was this bad? How am I feeling in this moment? But then he's surrounded by people who just start cheering him on, celebrating the fact that he just killed somebody, and celebrating the fact that he just killed three people. And it kind of sets the tone for his compass of morality and empathy.
Yeah, and I actually, when I saw that scene, well, two things. One, I felt like there was a moment after he shot the person where he did feel some sort of guilt or sadness or something.
Remorse, yeah.
There was some sort of remorse. But I also felt like, because initially when they were like, take the shot, they were like, you're going to miss anyway. And I honestly felt like, very much like NoHo Hank, that at the time when he took the kill, that was the first time he had been accepted by those people.
Yeah.
And he was so excited to be accepted, because he didn't really even look like he was that excited about having shot or killed anyone. He looked like this was his first time really of being accepted into a group, and this is just the only thing I can do to kind of find acceptance or find my place.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, Barry's not weird because he's a murderer. Barry was weird before he became a murderer.
Exactly. But murdering is what he does well.
He's really good at it.
Yes,
he's like he's Liam amazing. Neeson in Taken, except more death.
But yeah, so that scene, I think, really revealed to us kind of what Barry's initial motivations were. And certainly, and I think we got a little bit of this in season one, that once he's released from the army, he was sort of lost. And, you know, that's how he ends up with Fuchs, who was almost like sort of like a father figure to him. And, you know, and that was still, I think, some of his just trying to be accepted or, you know, find his space. So that that scene actually really touched me a lot. I actually really enjoyed that scene.
I think it was great because they really juxtaposed his confusion with what was going on.
Yeah.
With the idiots in the background. I can't believe I killed him.
Oh,
no!
My gosh. I mean, every his acting class. Like, I had to start Googling those individual actors because I was like, I love all of you guys. So now another little episode that was kind of like light and fun and just good entertainment is the Lululemon store.
Hello, like, Governor. So welcome to the store.
So cute. So he puts on this like horrible British accent, because I was like, no, you all do not sound alike, Barry, because your accent is horrible. And she actually seems like she's British.
Does everyone who works here British? Is everyone who's here British selling Lululemons with a British accent like Simon Cowell?
Exactly. And I just love the line where she was like, remember when you were excited because you thought it was a candy store? Because I am right there with you, girl. I thought I'm right there like, ooh, candy instead of $80 leggings.
I love when he started completing her sentences.
Oh my gosh.
It's unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yes, when he started mimicking her, I was like, Barry, you're five and I am here for it.
But
I loved it.
We get the very best of the best of NoHo Hank in this scene.
Okay, yeah, because NoHo needs a wig in every color, because I'm here for NoHo in the wig.
He looked like a damn mannequin.
He looked hilarious. And there's that moment when he's like, because it's always something kind of slightly feminine about him anyway, and he's like, oh, I want these shorts in a size medium. Those are women's shorts. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I loved that scene.
He's so good.
And I definitely felt for him when Barry just totally cuts him down.
I know. Like, what the hell? All he wants is him to kill one Burmese chick and just knock it out. Just be done with it. And he can't even do that?
Yes. And he calls him a freaking idiot.
Which isn't even the worst insult.
Well, actually, no. I think it is. Because I think it's like, he was kind of all right, I think, in the beginning. Because, of course, I'm sure he expected Barry to push back on yet another murder. But when he just kind of says, you freaking idiot, like, under his breath, like you're nothing. I think that was kind of the motivation for us to see a new know-how.
He's like ahead of the Chechnya mob, and he's showing up to Lululemon in a lame-ass wig asking for women's shorts and telling somebody who works there to kill somebody. Yes. He's a freaking idiot.
Yes, and what was so interesting about the Lululemon scene versus the scene later at the end of the episode is that, yeah, he went in there asking Barry to kill Esther. When he came later, he was telling Barry.
Yeah, he came saw to the acting class.
Yes,
he came. It's interesting. Barry has this bubble, and people go towards the perimeter of it. To get him to do things.
Exactly. And it always reminds me of the Seinfeld episode, My Worlds Are Colliding. And as soon as they start to collide, he just totally loses it all. And so NoHo Hank, you know, Stan. And I think for once, Barry kind of, I'm not going to say he stood down, but he was like, okay, I think I can respect this NoHo. Like, I actually was liking this NoHo too, because he was like, no, you know, you disrespected me and I'm the person that saved your life, which is the truth. He saved him. And, you know, you can say we not in this bromance if you want to, but I saved you and you owe me. And if you don't, they'll come and kill you anyway.
Yeah, but somebody else might be coming after Barry. Our fans, when they go to iTunes and rate and subscribe and give us 5 stars, because yes, this was available in podcast form on Apple Podcasts. And if you leave us a rating and comment, we'll give you a shout out on the show. As always, we love giving you all this content here for free at AfterBuzz TV. So please support us in the only way that we ask you to, by hitting that little subscribe button, the like button, and commenting on this video after it's over, because the live chat comments are not saved. But shout out to Drew Leonard for being in the live chat anyway.
Hey, Drew.
You are the best.
Thank you.
But to continue my segue, who's going after Barry? Detective Loach.
Oh my gosh. And I'm here to bear witness, because I thought, other than Detective Moss, they were all bumbling idiots. Like, the whole time I was like, these are the worst detectives ever. She's the only one that's going to figure out anything. And now that she's dead, I think that's, well, I don't know. You know,
hypothetically dead. Now that she's out of the way.
Now that she's out of the way, because I know my girl's coming back. It was interesting, because they were ready to set it down, and then they find this tooth, and it leaves them the fugitives. And I'm not even sure. Then he's on the computer Googling, and next thing you know, he's on Barry's Facebook page.
So here's how it works, right? So they had Fuchs' tooth, but it didn't match any DNA records.
Right, and
so
then they had a hit.
They pulled Fuchs into the room, and he wouldn't give him any DNA, but they gave him a Coke, so they just grabbed the can, tested his DNA
right
off that.
Right, right, right.
And then by the end of the episode, it tagged his DNA, so they knew about Fuchs. And if they know about Fuchs, who's in Georgia, oh, look, Fuchs has some friends, mutual friends with Detective May, and it's Barry.
And here is the thing, because last season, here's the thing. I think, I don't know, just HBO not like Facebook, because last season, that Facebook page is like, has always caused Barry problems from the beginning. If you're a hitman, I don't think you need to be on social media, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, that was the whole episode 3 storyline, was where, like, oh, we got to get you a Facebook, Barry.
Right.
And he's like, well, I don't use it.
Exactly. And there's a reason, because now detectives are using it to locate you.
But they don't know, because they just have a blurry photo.
They don't know, but he is the first one. And it's funny, because even, I think, for a long time, Detective Moss didn't want to face it either. But he's the first one that puts that photo next to Barry and says things that make you go, So.
Hell yeah. Yes. It's a great episode.
This is a great episode. I think that's what I'm saying. It's like the fastest 30 minutes ever. So I enjoyed it totally.
They always won't leave you wanting more.
They do. They do.
So, do you have any predictions?
Doom, doom, doom. Well,
your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So, I have so many. Okay. I don't think Barry kills the Burmese. I think they overpower him, and then they lock him into their struggle, too.
Well, here's the thing with that. I think that, because they showed us a few little clips, I think think Barry is going to actually probably have more in common with Esther than he does with NoHo Hank. I think Barry has a respect for them and might eventually become friends with the Burmese. So then it'll be like, maybe they'll take out the Bolivians.
I think they're going to be crazy. I think if the Burmese, if Esther is like stab a knife in her hand, Barry's going to run into people and he's going to like shoot them like six times and the guy's going to be fine. Like, it's going to...
And they're going to all love each other.
There's going to be some hijinks. It's like, I can imagine just the calling No Hung, you sent me after the freaking Terminator, man! Like, what the hell? Like, I can just imagine that kind of stuff going on. But I think Barry's going to get completely dragged back into this stuff. Do you see Cousineau finding out that Barry killed May, or...
No.
Nope?
No, I don't see it. I mean, maybe... Well, obviously... I think, if anything, it'll be the end of the season. I think that's how the season will end.
I think Cousineau doesn't live to the end of the season. And I think I'm just making episode one season finale predictions. Cousineau doesn't live to the end of the season, and Barry's girlfriend finds out about his side job in the last episode.
Okay, and I definitely believe that once Sally finds out about Barry's side job, she's going to love him even more.
Hey. All right, I think that's... all the time we
I
have.
I think that's it, you guys. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, don't forget to like, subscribe, listen to us on Sound, on iCloud, SoundTunes, all that other stuff. And if you'd like, please tune in. Feel free. Again, my name is Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux. Check us out every Monday for Conversations with Maria, a podcast to learn about getting better. Every Monday, check it out, guys. I produce that podcast with my boss. It's pretty great. But we will see you all next week.
All right, you guys. Ciao for now. See you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.